All right. I am here today interviewing or having a conversation with my uncle.
Thomas Williams.
And you are when we are currently in?
Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Okay. So where did you grow up, Uncle Thomas?
In Louisville, Arkansas.
Tell me about it.
Small country town. Farm life.
What type of crops did you grow up on?
Soybean, mm-hmm. cotton, mm-hmm. corn, alfalfa, mm-hmm. sugarcane.
Okay. So tell me what you remember about Grandma and Grandpa. Pick anyone first.
Well, they was country parents, country people, country living.
What does that mean for people who might not know what that
is? Well, they basically was biblical background-based people that believed in do good to everybody, do good unto all men. And well-structured, well-disciplined. And poor people, but getting still hot for love.
When do you think you felt, did you feel poor growing up?
Well, we knew we was poor, but that had nothing to do with our living.
Yeah.
You know, you still have to live with poor rich.
Can you remember anything that made that, like, when you kind of first recognized, oh, we don't really have as much as others? Can you remember anything?
Oh, actually, you come to a point, because we really had probably more than a lot of people, because we had our own chicken, had our own swine or hogs, and those kind of things, and we raised, my dad had a garden. So, actually, we had plenty of food, and but it was just the times. Mm-hmm. Wages was low nationwide, not just in Arkansas, but pretty well nationwide. Maybe people in the north made more money than in the West Coast, probably made more money than people in the south, but. The South was just simply, it was not an abundance of wages, high wages. Mm-hmm. All the wages was medium. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have brothers and sisters. Where do you fall in the count?
Four.
The fourth one down. So who was primarily in the house when you were coming up?
My older sister. Your mother, Betty, Lucy, then me.
Okay. What if, so is there anything that you remember about Mommy? Anything that stands out when you were younger? Any story you remember?
Oh, no. She was just.
Yeah, what was she like? What was she like as a young person?
She was a driver. She was a pace setter that you know, cooked, cleaned, advisor, disciplinary, and you just had to walk the chalk line pretty well with her. That's the way she was.
Yeah. So how did you feel when she moved to Pine Bluff? Were you still in the house when she moved at 16? Because she went to go stay with Grandpa, Great Grandpa Sidney, Brother Campbell, Sidney Campbell.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I was still in the household. Let's see. I don't know how old she was. I think she's a little bit earlier now. Maybe 14, maybe.
It might have been.
But anyway, yeah, I was still in the household, so they left her and Betty. Mm-hmm. They went together. So they left. Lucy was like the oldest then, and I was next, so yeah. And then all the siblings fell in behind us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was the thing of the schools went to a certain grade level, and you had to go somewhere else to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the ninth grade. Once you finished ninth grade, you had to go to either some other school because they, where we grew up at was just the ninth grade out in the country, and then you had to go somewhere else to finish high school.
Where did you go to finish high school? Did you come to Pine Bluff or Hope or where?
We moved to Lafayette County, Louisville, and I graduated from Foster High School in Louisville.
Oh, okay.
I went to William Chapter, though. That was the school in the country where we lived out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And until the seventh grade.
Mm-hmm. How many kids were in your class?
I think eight.
Really?
Eight or 12.
Oh, wow.
1, 2, 3.
Wow.
I think, yeah, 8 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
Which we went to a parochial school. We went to a parochial school, but the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th grade had one classroom side. The 1 through 11 had the other classroom side.
Mm-hmm.
And they had seats arranged straight. 6th grade here, 7th grade here, 8th grade here, 9th grade here.
All in one room?
All in one big room.
How did you learn with all of that going on? Because you had 4 different teachers?
Nope, we had one teacher.
Really?
One teacher taught. If it was math, but it was well just that you paid. You couldn't cut up. If you're teaching 7th grade, 9th grade, civics or English, the other class, you did not cut up.
Really? So what would y'all do? Y'all would just be sitting there?
You'd have homework.
Okay.
You're working
on
project. Actually, the next day's work, you start reviewing it at school.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. One big classroom.
And that was, what grades did you just say? It was?
Oh, it went with 1 through 9.
Wow.
Yep.
Huh. I never.
But they had a side like the elementary side met here, and then the 6th graders to the 9th graders met in another big room.
Mm-hmm.
But it like, and you had to go to the blackboard back in those days and write, learn how to print, how to write,
mm-hmm.
how to do timetables, mm-hmm. Roman numerals, cursive writing. So it was something to do. They had mapped out pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So when you were growing up, what type of work did you feel like you? What did you think you were going to grow up and do? What did you see for yourself?
I don't know. I guess probably something to do with agriculture. I guess those probably the biggest thing going.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember having a conversation with my mother that I didn't want to be a farmer. But actually, I really liked farming after I left the farm.
Mm.
I really liked farming. But I was...
You think you didn't want to do it because it was sharecropping at the
no,
time?
No. Actually, I had some experience with raising like corn and sugar cane and even raised some cotton That was mine. but I basically was like, I was good at like raising hogs, poultry, things like that, livestock.
Mm-hmm.
I was good at stuff like that.
Hmm. So what was it like for you to have so many brothers and sisters? We don't have big families as much today, so what was that like for you? What did you think about it at the time?
Well, I guess that was kind of the way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Most people had large families.
Mm-hmm.
The school I was telling you about, William Chapter, actually about 10 families made up the entire school.
Really?
Yep, just about 10 families. And all 10 of those families had 6 to 9 children.
Mm-hmm.
At least four more,
mm-hmm.
for certain.
Hmm. Okay. So once you graduated high school, what happened? Tell me about that.
Once I graduated high school, I went to A&E College.
Which is UAPB now, right?
Which is UAPB now. Mm-hmm. I stayed there. I actually, when I finished high school, I started in the summer of 65. Mm-hmm. I started college in did 2 years. I got drafted by the Army, dropped out, got my job, dropped out, and I got drafted by the U.S. Army, and I did a tour in Vietnam for a year, mm-hmm. and stayed a year stateside, mm-hmm. got out, and went back to college on the GI Bill, which mm-hmm. was part of the best program the military has, that at least you can complete your education if you desire to do so. Mm-hmm. And also they had a trade. So I went to trade school, then went back to college and graduated from AM&E and UAPB. Mm-hmm. And
when did you take up in trade school?
I was a brick mason.
Okay.
I took up masonry construction. Okay. And actually, I guess down through the years I did a lot of carpentry work prior to that. And I had a background already in carpentry, so the masonry was, tied in with the carpentry work, and that was my living. I also, I've taught 22 years of vocational education.
The boys' training school.
Boys' training school.
So that's what you taught there. So you taught them bricklaying
I taught masonry construction and drafting at the boys' training school.
Hmm. So did you only did one deployment? Or you did?
Yeah, well, just one. That was enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You want to comment on that at all?
It was just like, say.
What was your training like? How long was training at that time? Was it 6 weeks then? Shorter or longer?
6 weeks, basic, 6 weeks AIT. And then they had a program called, that you go to, I was at Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
They had a place called Tigerland that you had to go 2 weeks, mm-hmm. specialized training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what did you learn then?
Well, they just give you the excerpts of what Southeast Asia was like.
Okay.
Actually, they built buildings, huts, mm-hmm. just like they have in Vietnam, and they train you like how to go on search and destroy missions, mm-hmm. survival
mm-hmm.
skills, and what the jungle is like.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So what was Vietnam? What did it look like? How would you describe it?
Well, it's jungle, but like they have places like it's a resort area, like Cameron Bay, and then up around like the train and Uncay. It's a lot of places that's nice places.
Mm-hmm.
The scenery,
mm-hmm.
The plenty of blue waters and mm-hmm. ocean. Mm-hmm. So,
have you ever returned?
No.
You know, some veterans I've talked to have returned back to the site. What do you think?
I never had a desire to go back.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Vietnam. I was in on the cat fences here. And I was an infantryman. Mm-hmm. I was in combat. Mm-hmm. And I think I went on three major operations
mm-hmm.
During that time. The old city of Hue. I was at Quezon 471. T.T. Woods was big battle, a lot of casualties, so... LV Leslie, I was there where the Vietnamese overran us, so I had some action
mm-hmm.
there. I was squad leader in Vietnam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, what was it like when you came back for you? What was, after being in that environment for a year, how was it when you returned?
I think people in the States kind of treated us like misfits.
Mm.
That although we had gone to war, but then that thing that we was killers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost like the days of the West, I guess they kind of looked at us like a bunch of savages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really didn't have no respect for a period of time there, for vets that came from Vietnam. But then, no period of time, it got better. They recognized that, hey, we weren't there because we wanted to be there. We were there because we were sent there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once people start accepting that, because there was a lot of protests going on about the Vietnam War,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I guess it just kind of like filtered over into the community, filtered over into people's heads, man, that
it
it shouldn't be.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. So once you returned home, what were some of your activities then?
Well, once I got back home, I got a job at various basic plywood working industry, mm-hmm. plywood mills, stuff like that. Also, I had a job furniture factory,
mm-hmm.
Building frame for furniture and that kind of stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. So, how did you feel when you first found out you were going to be a father?
I guess it's just one of those things that it happens.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't gotten married. I think I got a service.
Okay.
My oldest son, was born from that marriage.
You want to state his name for the record?
Thomas William Jr.
Okay. Okay. So then you had two more sons.
Yeah, I got divorced and then got married again after I got out of trade school. And actually, we had three children. One was stillborn.
Mm-hmm.
Then my next one, England, he grown and he died with a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And then Justin's still living. He's a Carolina State policeman at the time. And my other son, England, he worked basically as a security guard.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked for also the U.S. Marshal Office for a minute.
How old was England when he passed? He was in his 20s still, wasn't he?
Okay. You know, like 28, mm-hmm. I think. 20.
Wow. Been so long ago. And then now you have a daughter as well.
Yeah, of course, she's 27, and she's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And
how did you feel when you found out you were gonna be a father again? Well, you didn't stop being a father, but how did you feel when you knew you were gonna have
the
baby
just,
girl? Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was very much because I was kind of, I fathered quite in my old age.
45
years old.
Yeah, you're the same age my daddy was.
So I just kept thought that it was done deal, and it's just one of those things that I think my dad used terminology. Yeah, we went to the well one time too often. So it's a modern way of putting it. That was a quilt.
Well, so let's see, what else can we bring up? So tell me about your faith journey. Tell me what that's been like, where it started and where it is now.
What now?
Your faith journey.
I was raised up in the Church of Christ, I was indoctrinated at a very early age at the Church of Christ down at, it was called the County Line Church of Christ at the time, between Hempstead County and Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taught the gospel by a guy named Edgar Laughter. And in 57, I was baptized. And they took us through intensive training. I think this it was like six of us, six young folk. And they taught us how to sing, how to teach Bible class. They also taught us how to administer the Lord's Supper. And they just took time out to train us for a world. And then, like I said, I left college, got drafted 6'7". Kind of like lean years because the military thing and Church of Christ wasn't just a real prominent in a lot of places, but once I got through with it, I came back, got reunited or reacquainted with the faith again. Mm-hmm. And from that, stayed with the church pretty faithful to the church.
When did you start preaching?
I started preaching in 71.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, again, just kind of just moving about Churches of Christ was things they do good here, you know, in the Pine Bluff area. Mm-hmm. You know, they're steady mm-hmm. and strong, so yeah. And I'm still currently trying to bring a few lessons from the book.
Okay. So, we didn't touch on Grandpa. What do you remember about?
My dad was he was a farmer. He was a good farmer,
mm-hmm.
good gardener, and he knew how to make cane syrup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually taught me how to make it. And
mm-hmm.
we had a syrup mill at one time. And, I remember when I was very young, he would take me and let me mash the juice out of the cane, and then he showed me how to cook it. We had a pan
mm-hmm.
to cook it in, and a little furnace that it set on to gather. So, but he was a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
I look back now that, and he worked in logwood. He was a logger.
Mm-hmm.
He was at one time. He worked at a lot of sawmills and sawmill work and farming is basically that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But he raised. Again, cotton, corn, peas,
mm-hmm.
soybeans, stuff like that.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
So as you know, and if you don't want to talk on this, you don't have to, but our family has experienced quite a bit of grief or loss in the past couple of, and over the last year, just most recently, your wife. Ain't Lottie B and Amy C, and then even your own children that you just named. How have you dealt with that? What do you think about that?
Well, life is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really basically what I see now seeing. Some of them passed, and my wife, son. You just have to make the best of life. Because one thing about it, we can't control death. You know, if it's there, it's nothing to do but accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we do like Hezekiah, ask the Lord to give us some more years, but
mm-hmm.
if it don't be granted, then just, you know, death is, nobody can escape death.
That's true.
So death awaits every individual.
What else sustains you? You feel like do you have anything that you've done to like kind of keep yourself? Because you know you hurt. Maybe.
Yeah, yes. What I do is really just try to stay busy.
Mm-hmm.
Read. Spend time meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, you know, it takes a lot of worry, and it would. Actually, you don't have time to where get yourself involved in doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it's working with people, group counseling, group sessions
mm-hmm.
is good, and you know, just try to live and take care of yourself. That's all you need to do.
What's been the most helpful thing from your community, be it, you know, your family, your children, whoever, like, what's been some you know, some things that have really, like, gave you some comfort or relief? Or
I guess people that I've known for a long time, the encouragement that they give and then the support,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's good. Mm-hmm. I guess that sharing that and the day, inquiring and checking up on you, you know, and so it's worth it.
Yeah. Okay. So what else would you wanna share about yourself? What else do you?
Well, I'm 72 years old now, you know, retired.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
barely.
Somewhat retired.
From the workforce.
A lot of us
are in. You have your own businesses.
And I have I have a ministry that I'm still working at. I preached in nine foreign countries.
Yeah.
And actually, I just came back since the death of my wife from South America, that I did a 3-week gospel meeting. Campaign down there,
mm-hmm.
and I have been going down there from I think it was since 2006.
Well, where are some of the other places? Because I know you mentioned Haiti.
I've been to Haiti a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to which is the West Indies. I've been to the West Indies,
okay.
And Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Antigua. I've been to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Preached. Meetings there, and those countries in South America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Georgetown and quarantine areas, and I've had invitations to some foreign countries that I did not accept for
mm-hmm.
health reasons, and also I have been invited to the U.S. Virgin Islands, a number of times. So it's been a real rewarding experience with the foreign missions that we've done, and so I'm pleased with that, and still trying to do it.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember anything about your grandparents?
Yeah.
What were their names?
On my dad's side, his dad was named Thomas Williams, which I'm named after.
Really? I didn't know that.
And my grandma, Anna Mae Williams, I knew her. Yeah, they was around our lives from up until the age about. Early teenagers, they began to kind of like get old up in old age, and then my mother's father, Sidney Campbell, actually, I came and lived with him when I started to AME in college. And my grandmother, Alice Leo Bragg, my mother's mother, lived in Deersville. So, yeah, we was very interwoven family, mm-hmm. very, very close-knit, yeah, exactly.
Granddaddy's parents, were they in Louisville? Granddaddy?
At one time, but then between Lafayette and Hempstead,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they both the counties married, so they were just kind of like right there
mm-hmm.
with each other.
What about, I think Mommy has said that our great-grandmother may have been a slave. Is it? Do you know anything about that?
She wasn't. Hattie Pedersen, she was not.
She was not. Okay. Did you ever meet her?
Mm-hmm.
You remember her?
Yeah.
How would you describe her? How did she look?
A little short woman, about 5'5", hair all the way. She had a lot of Indian in hair.
Mm-hmm.
She moved from Arkansas to California.
Yeah,
San Diego area. She died at like 110 years old.
Really?
You know,
so, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What did she do when she moved up? What type of work did
she do?
She
was a midwife.
Yeah.
Most of the people that brought into the world in Lafayette County and the country. And then around Fulton area, Hope area, Texas County area, yeah.
Yeah.
Middle County. She was a midwife for them.
Didn't she? Because she helped to deliver a lot of the.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
siblings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. I think I do remember that.
Yeah. Aww. That's correct.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah, Patty Fellowship.
Well, what else? What else can we hit on? So I guess how this is a question we always ask: like how would you like to be remembered, or what legacy are you trying to live into?
Well,
or live up to.
I really don't have one. I'm just trying to live and be as prosperous and happy and joyful as possible, but.
Mm-hmm.
And do I have 9 grandkids? Just try to help them along,
mm-hmm.
and to just be informed if they need me.
What do you feel like you were taught about family?
Family is the best thing any person have going. If a person take care of the families and show their concern for the families,
mm-hmm.
respect the family, they get all the joys and the benefits that it come back into their lives,
mm-hmm.
because what you really sow in lives was it come back into your own. So. I won't believe in that. Family, at one time, we just leave, but once you, mature, develop that, you find out that family is really, it's the backbone
mm-hmm.
of nation, country, state,
mm-hmm.
Home, that just, the families would make it go.
Mm-hmm.
And, the advice, the counseling, the encouragement, it all just comes from family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's important.
Do you think that, being in other countries, you've been to several other countries now, do you think it's easier in other countries? Do you feel like families, it just seems like they're more knitted together than here in the West? Or what are your thoughts?
I don't know, because different countries have different cultures, but they still got that family is there,
mm-hmm.
and I was with some Hindus, and they still the family, like say, it's in the foreign countries that I'm going to, they interact just like we do. You know, they play together, they conversate together, they work together, and they build things together. You know, it's just like building a home, building a relationship, building a city. It takes everybody pulling together. You know, I noticed that everybody kind of like in the foreign countries, everybody kind of like know the roles that they're gonna play. It's just not like a freelance. It's already kind of like structured that you have something to do each and every day. It's a time that we eat. It's a time we go to work. It's a time we spend time with the family. So they do that, and they're good at it. You know, it's just. And they, like I said, they have their own little thing they do, but they still come together as a unit or as a family. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, any words of wisdom for me or anything you would?
No, just keep doing what you're doing. Life will give you the experiences that you need. If you just kind of watch yourself, watch your surroundings, be in a good environment, a good positive environment. I have this friend that says that whenever something negative happens, they need to get away from that. And really, a lot of people have said don't dwell on the past. But it's always good to reflect on something that has happened, because that could be the building blocks for the future.
Mm-hmm. Just to inform your
right, or remind you,
Okay.
And that kind of shakes up things on the inward man. That just reflect upon it, because if you've gone through it, or you know somebody that has gone through it. Because you might want to wonder, how did they make it through? And you might use it as a building block or stepping stone to live a little bit.
Hmm. Okay. Well, all right, Uncle Thomas, I thank you for your words. If you don't have anything else, we can conclude the interview, the conversation.
I thank you for taking time out to interview.
All right, we're done.